Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. I'm Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we are going to hear from you, actually, a couple of you, and we're going to be asking the question, does God arrange certain circumstances, certain meetings? Well, we think he does, and it's always for his glory. We're going to talk about some of those stories and take you to Scripture, as we always do.
And speaking of taking it to Scripture, one of our favorite things we do here is our daily Bible study. And don't forget, on naomistable.com, under the Bible Studies tab, we do have notes for each of the lessons. If you miss some, you could go back and listen to the podcast later. Or if you're thinking, oh, I'd rather have something in the New Testament, we've got tons of them already on the website. You could just take your pick.
You know, and a lot of you are doing that, and we just thank you for letting us know how they're going. A lot of you have said, you know, sometimes we use them for, you know, my own edification. I'll just do these Bible studies on my own, and others of you gather groups. I know of one that meets right here on Wednesday nights, and these ladies meet, I think every other Wednesday is what they do, and some of them are very mature in their faith. They've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and some of them are brand new, and so you get that perfect this fellowship, so sweet, of older women training kind of the younger one in the faith. But what does that remind you of? Well, Titus 2.
You
and
betcha.
Yeah, and we talk about that here all the time. We're sort of modeled after that. There aren't too many places where, those women who maybe feel a little isolated or alone can go to get that that spiritual mothering or learn how to give it to another. So that's what we talk about here at the table, and we're so glad you're along. One of the things that we do, Nancy, is we have a Google Plus community group. And for those of you with Gmail accounts, it's really easy to get on there. You have to read kind of the rules and regulations, kind of what to expect on our website at naomistable.com. But I think once you read that, you'll find that this is a group for women who are just very, very serious and hungry for the truth of the word. And they want to leave their opinions behind and find out, you know, what Scripture has to say. And there's a lot of very sweet fellowship going on there. And quite often I'll just post a note in there and say, hey, ladies, we're doing a show on this, and I would love to hear from your thoughts on this, your experiences, your Bible verses. And that's what we did today. In fact, Nancy and I were talking about, you know, there are some times when you meet somebody and it seems like pure happenstance. And of course, the more you go along, you realize, boy, only God could have arranged that circumstance.
Yeah. And it could be something like you're sitting on an airplane and you're sitting next to someone, you just strike up a conversation, and it just ends up being an amazing encounter with them, where you can either share the gospel or you realize they're a Christian and you can just share your love of Christ with each other.
Yeah.
And it's so encouraging and so building up. And when God especially speaks through you to minister to another person, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
We have a lot of those instances here at the radio station.
We do.
People come in to pick up CDs, and we just had a young lady the other day come in to pick one up, and she's probably listening right now. I'm not going to say your name, don't worry. But she's a first-time listener of the station.
Wonderful.
And she had been thinking, oh, I really could use some Christian music, but I really can't afford it because she's going to school and all this. And so she called in during the contest and actually won not one, but two CDs.
Oh,
so
neat.
She came in to pick them up, and then she and I had the most wonderful conversation. It actually went on for like 2.5 hours, and my husband was calling like, are you okay? And I'm like, oh, yeah, doing great. Be home soon. Go ahead and eat dinner, you know.
Yeah.
So you have things like that. I was at an art and craft show that, you know, I probably should stop going to those because they are such a temptation for me. But there was a lady there who had a booth, and I was admiring her works. She has stamped metal things, and I know she had Scripture verses on her stamped metal. And I was asking her, because I couldn't remember exactly what that Scripture reference was for, and I would ask her about them, and she's looking at us. And my husband had his Q90 radio station shirt on, and she looked at him, and she said, you work for Q90? I love that station. And he said, oh, hi, I'm Mike. This is my wife, Nancy. And she said, Mike LeMay and Nancy LeMay. And it's,
isn't that funny that we just laugh at that, because here we are, we have no idea. We come to work and, you know,
absolutely. And it was so encouraging to talk to her. And then another time I was in a new organic grocery store that just opened up in town here in De Pere. And I was just looking at some stuff on the aisles. It was actually during their grand opening. And I heard a voice next to me say, "You're Nancy, right?" And I'm like, what? I had come from the Y. I had been to an exercise class. Oh, I had sweat everywhere. And she recognized my voice, I guess.
You have a distinct voice.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of like molasses in March. I like to call it, with the Missouri twang added.
It's very sweet.
There you go. And very thick and syrupy, too.
Yeah.
But it's amazing sometimes those encouraging encounters that you get.
Yeah.
And then there are the others, like I said, when you meet a total stranger and you just have such an opportunity to share God with them and to share the gospel with them. Or maybe they're struggling with something in their walk and God just gives you the perfect scripture verses to tell them. But there are lots of those incidents. And we had a lot of our listeners on that Google Plus page that actually helped us out with some of their stories.
Yes, we thank you, ladies. I hope you're listening in or listening by podcast. And you know, God did that all the time. You see that in scripture where he arranged meetings. And it's for his glory always. And that's I guess that's how you know it was him. A friend, Jen, wrote in on our Google Plus under this topic. And she said, you know, about 5 years ago, I was seeking some strong Christian support and healing from anorexia, and I came across an online support group for eating disorders, and with some hesitancy and some doubt because, you know, it wasn't really a Christian-based site. She said, I signed up and I joined their growing group. I was pleased to discover that they had a spirituality group, which I signed up for as well, but sadly, they took it away shortly after I joined. I didn't know why, but she said, on the site, I was able to connect with other women who were in the same boat as I was, and I met a couple of women on there that I connected with quite well, but one in particular caught my attention simply by her profile picture, and she posted of her standing by an airplane in Alaska. She said there was just something about the way she looked, and I immediately messaged her to encourage her in her battle with her eating disorder. Well, you know, one thing led to another, and so now they're messaging each other back and forth for a month. And it developed a really good friendship and found out that they were sisters in Christ. You know, they're true sisters, even though she was living on the East Coast in Virginia and I was living in Minnesota. So beautiful friendship. You know, just through this happenstance of meeting that way, they started emailing and calling each other. And then really kind of they met one day so they could freely share what they wanted to say. And that's such a beautiful thing. And she said, up until that point, I had not shared the depth of my Christian love or love for the Lord. However, since I was in a place in my life where I needed a Christian woman and friends and fellowship, I knew that I needed to bring up Jesus and the most amazing ways that he was working in my healing. So she said she broached the subject carefully, not really sure where to start or whether to speak certain things. And she simply asked if she was a Christian. And did she know Jesus? And was she a born-again believer? So it started out very hesitantly at first. The woman said that she grew up in a Catholic church, but they left it when she was in her teens and had tried different churches as a family, couldn't really find one. Well, and she had sort of lost her way. And the story goes on and turns out that they've developed this beautiful friendship. And Jen was able to minister to her quite beautifully. Mm. Yeah, Nancy, she said that in wrapping up, Jen said today her friend found a good Bible teaching church, and they still share sermon notes and what they are learning, many thoughts and ideas almost each day. And she says, we still have a great sister type friendship, and it truly was God working to arrange our connection and for allowing our meeting to happen.
We have another wonderful story, actually a couple of them, from Brianna. And she said, this past Saturday, I saw my neighbors outside and I had remembered I owed her $5 for something we were going to split the cost of. Well, I was busy and was carrying around my youngest and I thought, oh, I'll do it later. But then I felt prompted to do it immediately. So I went outside And I heard her telling her husband about some honey they needed to buy, but that she only had $2 at the moment. I stretched out my hand and said, "Here you go." And she was really excited at the coincidence, but I knew it wasn't. And then she says, another instance of meeting a need with the same neighbor is a time when she was on unpaid maternity leave. And we're talking about Brianna was, and we were pinching pennies. And she was unaware of our situation. The neighbor was unaware of their situation. And on a night I was sitting on the porch feeling kind of down, she brought over some zucchini bread since she had a surplus of 5 loaves. Well, you know, when you have zucchini, that can happen. But the really neat thing is she says in the end, our neighbors are Christians too, and we have everything in common. So I feel like it was divine placement when we moved here.
Oh, that's beautiful. And quite a few of you have shared, and we really appreciate that. I want to end with one more here. This is from our friend Lori Williams, and she says, you know, it seems that my whole life relating to all the jobs I've had and the health issues I've been dealt with all seem to be orchestrated for me to be there just for one single purpose of witnessing to a person or people. She said, I could do a whole show with you ladies about this topic. It's quite fascinating when it all is told to people, you know, all those that are closest to me have seen all of this day play out over and over the years. And they keep telling me over and over that I have to write a book about it. Might just do that. It's been so interesting to see how the Lord has used me in this way. It's humbling to know I've been a vehicle in getting the gospel to people that I would otherwise never run into. And I know Lori's had a lot of adventures, jobs that she's been at shortly, and things have happened, and God's moved her somewhere else, and there's been some health issues. But, you know, she's been in places where people she never would have met have come to know the Lord because of her, because of her willingness to be able to use the time wisely.
And that's really the key, is using the time wisely. And like I said, not hesitating because you have an agenda in your mind of where you need to be and what you need to get done.
Yeah. Be open to it, ladies, and you'll see some amazing things. I believe that God still performs miracles each and every day. And one of the biggest miracles I've ever seen is when people who have been dead in their sins come to life in Christ, in Him. So ladies, I hope that fills you with joy in anticipation for those meetings that only God could orchestrate. All right, we're going to leave it here for right now. We've got a Bible study to do, so open your Bibles up with today's lesson.
It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, today we have lesson 9. And we're starting a new chapter. We're in chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes. We'll be doing the first 8 verses, looking at those today. So let's think about last time, or where we've been in the book. After a brief flirtation, if you will, with hope, the preacher returned to despair at the end of Ecclesiastes 3 when he considered the problem of injustice. Now, continuing along the same lines, let's read what he says in verse 1. Then I returned and considered all the oppression that's done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors, there is power, but they have no comforter. So Solomon saw now with his under the sun thinking, and he considers oppressed people. He considers the oppression of others that he sees all around. These oppressed have no comforter. He seems to have compassion for the oppressed, which is amazing. I mean, very interesting coming from the very powerful king that he was. Well, compassion for the oppressed is a very common theme in the Old Testament. Let's just take a moment to consider some of the oppressed and some of the scriptures. There was oppression of people by a king. Proverbs 28, verse 16, the first part says, a ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. Oppression of a servant by his master. Deuteronomy 24, verse 14. You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in your land, with your gates. Oppression of the poor by the affluent. Proverbs 22, verse 16. He who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. Oppression of the poor by the bureaucratic. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8. If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter. For high official watches over high official, and higher officials are over them. And we have oppression of the poor by other poor people. Proverbs 28, verse 3. A poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Oppression of the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Now, we're not going to go there, but those are in Jeremiah 7, 6, Ezekiel 22, 7, and Zechariah 7:10. There's oppression of by charging high interest. That's in Ezekiel 22. There's oppression by using false weights and measures. You find that in Hosea chapter 12, verse 7. So Solomon thought of the painful and tear-filled lives of the oppressed. In an under-the-sun world where this life is all there is from a human perspective, men and women give no account for their lives in a world to come, and those oppressed have no further hope. The tears of the oppressed are especially bitter, and they have no comforter. So then he says in verse 2 and 3, therefore, I praise the dead who are already dead more than the living who are still alive, yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Wow. Because of oppression and sadness, man is better off dead, he's saying, or that they may not even have been brought into the world to begin with. In view of life's unfairness, Solomon concludes that death is better than life. What a sad and disturbing conclusion. Verses 4 through 6, he says, again, I saw that for all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full, together with toil and grasping for wind. Next, in verse 4 here, the preacher thought of those who gain success through toil and skillful work. He's moved on from oppression here. And he's bothered by this. He considers the toil and the skillful work only to have it cause envy and sometimes hatred from others. This common jealousy of success of a life that a person has, a successful life, seemed like vanity and grasping for the wind. In verse 5, he says, the fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Solomon gives us a tendency, or what is a tendency for those jealous of the success of others, to be lazy. Like fools, they fold their hands and do nothing, and they waste away. Understand, it wasn't the success of their neighbor that made them waste away. The foolish, lazy man consumes his own flesh. This expression means destroys himself, brings ruin upon himself. A similar thought from a different perspective is found in Psalm 27, verse 2. Here David says, when the wicked came against me to eat or to devour up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. The wicked were trying to destroy David, bring him to ruin. So now in verse 6, better a handful with quietness than both hands full, together with toil and grasping for the wind. This is really a neat verse when you think about it. And the preacher reflects on the value of contentment here. It's better to have less and be content than to have more and constantly be grasping for more on top of it. Solomon weaves some fascinating themes together here in these verses. Hard work and success are good and not to be envied. Laziness is wrong and destructive. Actually, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul states bluntly, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Yet even the one with full hands must learn contentment. So that's why Solomon says, better to have one hand full of labor and its fruit and one hand full of contentment. Have a balanced life. It was Paul who said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Well, then our last verses for today, Solomon returns to see another situation of man that's vanity under the sun. Verse 7, he says, then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion, and he has neither son nor brother, yet there's no end to his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. These last verses, Solomon is thinking of the man who's alone, without family or close friends. The man in Solomon's thinking here is working hard, and then he just wants to gain more and more and more. We could say maybe he's a workaholic, and that's what he has in mind here, because he's never satisfied with the riches. And we see the foolishness of incessant labor beyond that of what's necessary to satisfy daily needs. And he never thinks, when he's striving for these riches, why am I doing this? I don't even have anybody to share it with. And so Solomon says that's vanity and a grave misfortune, literally an evil task. There's no satisfaction. The preacher was entirely correct from an under-the-sun perspective. Under that premise, there's no such thing as an eternal accomplishment, and one does not even have the potential satisfaction of passing one's accomplishments on to another. All is vanity and a grave misfortune. In a practical sense, what can we take from our lesson today? A shared, balanced life is the best. On the one hand, a life of profitable labor, and on the other hand, a life of quietness, contentment, and peace of mind. And the fruit of your labor shared with others brings blessings to your life and to the life of others. A life filled with toil will only lead to a competitive spirit, which can lead to the sins of envy and covetousness. Truly, a life of godliness with contentment is great gain. You can download the study guide for today's lesson at naomistable.com.
All right, Nancy, well, that was lesson 9, and we're talking a little bit about oppression and some other things that Solomon was trying to make sense of at the time. And boy, you can see some similarities between, you know, the world he was experiencing and trying to figure out in our world today.
Mm-hmm. And basically, he comes to that conclusion that, you know, both of them are really miserable, and at least the one who is the oppressor has power, but both of them are really all out there on their own and don't have anybody to comfort them. And so he comes to the conclusion, and this is like really depressing to me. He says, so it's better to be dead, or even more, to never have been born. I'm like, really? That's hard for me to really get my mind wrapped around.
Yeah, it is. And I think it is for all of us. And haven't we heard people say those things in despair as well? You know, here's what makes the difference is when you have brothers and sisters in Christ to spur you on, to help us understand, no, that's not our present reality. No matter if you know people who are saved or who are, you know, kind of out there floundering, there is an eternity, and that is real. It's not that when you die, there's nothing after that. That a lot of people want to believe that. That is just not true.
Yes. And when she was talking in verse 6 about it's better to have less and be content than to have more and to keep grasping for more, that whole idea to me, it reminded me of a quote, I think it was from J. Paul Getty, one of the wealthiest mans ever. I think he actually died on the Titanic or something like that. But he was asked one time when he would, how much money he needed to be content with life, because he was hugely wealthy. Yeah. And he said, just $1 more than what I have.
Yeah.
So in other words, he was never going to be satisfied. And when you look at all we do in this world to just really grasp at things, to really seek material things, and I have been every bit as guilty of that as anybody else has. And you get buried. I mean, my closets are like bursting and I'm getting buried with it. So what's the use?
The dissatisfaction that we have with our current state means that we do the opposite of what Solomon had come to the conclusion that we need to enjoy this gift of God called our lives. I remember in the 80s, and some of you are too young to remember this, but it was very interesting that Nancy Reagan, when then first lady, said you could never be too rich or too thin. And of course, she had a lot of money and she was very thin. How unhappy people must be if that's what they're always striving for.
Oh, exactly. You know, you can have more contentment and be poor, be suffering, be all these things with God. And if you have God, it's almost like, well, that's a trump card over everything else, every circumstance in your life, if you see it that way. If you have truly trusted your life to His hand, then once you have God, you don't even need anything else.
No, and I know that that might sound strange to you ladies, but it is so true. Well, I hope that you have enjoyed our lesson today and our Flashback Friday episode. If you've missed any of it, we've got all the podcasts on our website, naomistable.com. And before we get ready to send you off for the weekend, we do have some scripture verses that we'd like to read to you. And Nancy, you always pick out such great ones. What did you find today?
Well, this one's going to talk a lot about suffering and affliction, but it's that attitude that Paul has in it of, hey, we're in God's hands. What more do we need to worry about? I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. Mm-hmm. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many.
Well, thank you, Nancy. And ladies, as we head off into the weekend, we hope that you remain hungry for his word and, of course, well-fed. Don't forget to feed those around you also, ladies. And if you'd love to connect with us, we would love to have you over at Naomi's Table's Google Plus group. Check it out. You can find out everything you need to know about that on our website, naomistable.com. Have a blessed weekend in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.